Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's up, everybody? This is Joe LaPuma. You are listening to the Complex Sneakers Podcast. To my right, Matt Welty.
How's everyone doing?
How you guys doing? And to my left, all black, fresh New Balances, though.
New Balance 993 on feet. I did just get a pair of 992s in the mail like an hour before this. I was thinking about switching out just to be totally crispy for it.
Yep, but. And rings on two different hands, so you know he's in that zone. How we feeling? We're back. We're back.
Here. Where are you coming back from, Joe?
I'm coming back from Miami. Don't I look a little darker? A couple shades darker.
Were you working on the tan?
It was a little windy, but I
you
always,
were at Soho House?
No, not Soho House. I always sneak in 1 to 2 hours of leisure time in Miami, though.
Where are you going to Miami?
We went to Versailles, which is a institution. Went to Komodo. I took Jose to Komodo.
What is that?
Komodo is Gruntman's restaurant, Dave Gruntman.
Who is that?
You guys don't get out often. It's okay.
This rich guy lifestyle, I can never relate to it.
Going to Lure.
Yeah. Last week I was at Lure and
Restaurant recommended to us by Vashti.
Yes, off camera from last week's episode.
This is in New York, right?
Last week we were talking to Vashti about her favorite spots in New York and Lure came up and I went last Saturday and she was texting us the Robert De Niro picture.
Yes.
And I picked up my phone and I was like, oh, I'm actually at Lure. And Vashti had the chef send over 2 glasses of champagne. So
a nice bottle?
Glasses. So, yeah, the champagne.
But it was good.
High quality.
Okay. I still haven't been. Welty, do you want to go to Lure sometime?
That's not really my scene. Man.
Really?
No.
Why not? What about it?
Have you ever been there or you're just saying that?
No, I'm just saying those sort of places in general is like things I usually don't do.
He wants fucking kebabs with the blue collar steel workers, which I like.
From the local 79.
Yeah, I like it. I like to get my hands dirty. I like to get my hands dirty, but Lure is amazing. You would like it. Maybe the boys go out.
Do you spend any time in Soho, Welty? Because I will tell you this, from an ego standpoint.
Oh, God.
You know, if you go to Soho.
I know it's the hotbed if you want to get, like, recognized.
If he takes all his dates there.
What are you talking about?
If you got a hot date, you'll get recognized nonstop. Yeah. Your ego will be on 11.
I saw today's full-size run episode. Very funny.
You liked it?
I liked it.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
One of my personal favorites.
Look, his face is lighting up.
Personal favorites.
Oh, my God. Welty has been non-stop excited about this episode. Yeah. I quite enjoyed it as well.
Big Body Bass.
That's right. We can talk about it because it's going to come out.
And you know,
hopefully, already has hundreds of thousands of views.
Absolutely. There were some good moments in there. Hey, listen, not about me, but we shot a big one in Miami, fellas. We shot the season finale in Miami.
When is it coming out?
Not for a while.
Okay, we'll so we can't say anything else about it.
The Big Kahuna.
That's all. Miami, can you give us any hints or anything like that?
No hints.
I mean, I know, but can you give the people listening any hints?
No hints. It's a really good episode for the season 10 finale.
Joe, I know you said you're all booked up. You got a lot of episodes in the can.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the time now that you're actually going to go on vacation? Because we were speaking recently about not going on vacation.
Not going on vacation.
No?
I was just in Miami.
There's nowhere you want to cross off the list. I know global travel is a big question mark right now. But
I need 12 to 18 hours.
Can't go to Europe.
I need 12 to 18 hours of downtime, and I'm good for the next 3 years.
That's it.
Listen, come on, guys. You know,
I mean, how much hours downtime do you spend on those kit trips, man?
3 days.
You said only 12 hours. You're good. You're good for.
I'm saying if I'm in a place for 3 days, I will chill for 3 days. But I only need 12 to 18 hours, and then I'm good for the next 3 years.
Well, do you got any trips planned?
You're the only one who travels. He doesn't take that much vacation.
I'm trying to inspire you guys. You take vacation all the time. That's not true.
Yeah, that is very true.
You take a lot of vacations.
Let me explain something to you.
You know who I'm like? Dwight Schrute. Did you ever see The Office when Dwight Schrute says, I never take vacations? I'm around 365, 7 days a week. That's who I am.
I'm in the office more than you. We know that for sure. But I will say I took a week vacation. That was the first vacation I'd taken since September. That was like a 5-month span or something like that.
I feel like you're always on vacation, but you work hard.
Thank you.
He works hard. He's here way earlier than...
It is unlimited PTO.
Way earlier than the one to my right. So, you know, you're entitled.
All I'm trying to say is you guys are entitled too. Wealthy, I want to see you. I want to see you post a gram pic from a white sand beach somewhere.
Where would it go? Where would you go?
I think Croatia would be a nice place to go to.
I want to see Wealthy in Croatia in 2020.
He'll do it.
Take a week.
I mean, you saw the Adidas. You saw the paid partnership with Adidas tag, didn't you?
Eating some octopus on the beach.
Listen, though, it's been a crazy week, guys. All kidding aside, just got off the flight, and I was looking forward to this because last night was crazy.
This coronavirus shit. I can't believe we're at this level. The NBA is canceled for the season.
MLS season is suspended.
Is that because of the virus or because of your behavior?
Oh, God.
Tom Hanks
has
contracted coronavirus, and his wife, we got a PSA from Chet Hayes about it.
Hanks.
I think his rap name is Chet Hayes,
Okay, see, he knows. He knows.
I could be wrong.
Shirtless PSA.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I'm happy to be here with you guys, and hopefully everyone listening, you know, stay safe out there and take the necessary steps to making sure you guys are healthy and...
Yeah,
crazy time.
We're trying to give you a little escape here. Look, we all know there's more important things going on in the world right now than sneakers, but we're still going to focus on sneakers because that's what we do, that's what we know, that's what we love. So we hope this conversation can kind of help take you away from the more dire situations across the globe right now.
And with that being said, coming up with this topic for this week, it's kind of a topic that we talked about here and there in a couple episodes, and we've been talking about it in the office a few weeks.
Constantly.
Yep. And it seems like there's been so many entry points to this conversation, ups and downs, and a lot of energy moments, and then some hits, some misses. But we wanted to talk today about the current state of Jordan brand as it relates kind of to the most recent, you know, Q1 in 2020 and maybe the end of 2019. And it's been only, what, like, 2.5 months of 2020.
But there's a lot of stuff.
A lot has happened.
Yeah. Going on. I just want to see how we feel. Mostly product based, because that's what we talk about, actual releases on the shelves, but also some business moves, signings, things like that.
Absolutely.
I'm excited to hear what Wealthy has to say on Wealthy, are you as notorious an Air Jordan hater as people think?
I'm not.
And also, not to interrupt, but I'm going to interrupt right away. I think that he's getting a little better at it.
A little more moderate?
Just because I think so. He's not getting more moderate in everyday things. Jordan brand, I think he's letting up a little bit on.
I think I'm at a point, I've always kind of been like that, where I feel like I can look at Jordan brand from stepping outside of it and look at it objectively. Me personally still never wear Jordans, but it's not because I just think they're awful shoes. It's just certain things.
You're saying you don't think they're awful shoes?
No, I don't think that they're awful shoes. It's just certain things not for you, you know what I mean? And that's just one of the things that's not for me. So,
but you did, I want to set the stage for this really briefly, because I know you do have a personal history. You had a pair of Jordan 8s when you were like 8 years old, basically, is it?
Yeah, in second grade. Yeah, I ended up getting a pair of the OG Aqua Jordan
8. Yeah, Aqua 8s. That was in the full-size run sneaker shopping crossover. Yeah.
I think that's important to mention, because I don't want anybody to ever think that Wealthy is just like hating on this stuff without having a history
or a real connection
to it.
Yeah.
So how far back do we want to go here? Should we talk about the young talent associated with the brand?
Absolutely.
To begin? Zion Williamson signed with Jordan Brand last year, just started playing in January. Luka Doncic, am I saying that right? I don't watch a lot of basketball.
Yeah, just got to pronounce the chitch at the end and you're good.
Very important. Who else is on? Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
They just gave him a ton of PEs.
And listen, all those three players are killing it right now.
Let's not forget Rui Hachimura.
Can't forget him.
Former Soul Collector employee Brendan Williams would be upset if I did not mention Rui.
Shout to him.
But he also opens them up to the Asian market a lot, too, right?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. And he's such a big piece. I feel like going into Tokyo 2020, they can really take advantage of that. You know, he's a Japanese guy. And if Tokyo 2020 happens, the Olympic Games is here. Everything's getting canceled right now. But, you know, that'll be summer. That'll be a little bit further out. But I think it's so cool because some of those players help Jordan give this, like, global sense. Jordan's always trying to be a global brand. It's meant more in North America, I think, than anywhere else, usually. But players like that from around the world kind of help diversify and help tie in a lot of different backgrounds in terms of this whole Jordan family idea.
And their play on the court has been spectacular. You know, even not to get too sports, we do have a sports podcast called Load Management, but Jason Tatum kind of had an off year last year and now he's hit a different level.
It felt like he was the guy.
Yeah, well, Kyrie.
No, but he was the guy for a minute, mm-hmm. and a lot of people, like, rest in peace, were comparing him to, like, a young Kobe, mm-hmm. like, early on mm-hmm. in his career. He was the BB guy, yeah. and then he leaves Nike, joins Jordan Brand, and everyone's yeah. like, that's it for him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
from what perspective?
Like, kind of like he's not going to be put, like, oh. on the superstar status oh. of, like, he might be the next guy to get a signature shoe.
Jason yeah. Tatum?
Yeah.
I have to say, I don't know a lot about Tatum. Again, I'm not going to pretend like mm-hmm. I'm a basketball analyst on any level, but I don't really like that new set of Jordan 34 PEs they did for him. I want to talk about the shoes.
Yeah, so
getting.
I want to
talk. Taco one is awful.
Let's get into that, because I like the Jordan 34 on
yes,
court.
I
think
the
it's
Jordan
a really, really nice
as a performance shoe.
And it came up when we were talking about the Melo episode, because, you know, Portland Trail Blazers, black yep. and red, and mm-hmm. how, like, not to fix the on-court Jordan shoes, but also, like, what if they just released kind of player exclusives colorways and just had the players on court wearing them? Like, Melo in Portland, a small allotment mm-hmm. of PE shoes that Carmelo's wearing in black and red kind of released instead of
super,
maybe...
Super quick strike.
Yeah, and just do it by the players. They have great players, and to be honest, the shoes look great in the colorways that the players are wearing, but it seems like to kind of fix the stigma of on-court Jordan shoes versus the retros, maybe there's a different approach to think
scale
about.
Scale them back.
Scale them back. And, you know, I don't have the answers, obviously. They know what they're doing. But that's something that I've been thinking about, because you do have these players who are killing it on court. I also love in the tunnel, they're wearing whatever they want mm-hmm. from Jordan, like Zion and Luka. And it's just a matter of if, like, that 34, which is a really good shoe to me, good-looking shoe, could turn the corner, and the strategy behind it.
I just don't see it. It sounds like one of those ideas that, like, sounds cool, like, kind of like,
but not about being cool. Just
no. Hold,
yeah,
it sounds cool, kind of like in like a pitch meeting or whatever. Like, just an idea. But when you think about, you have to develop, you know, the top performance shoe for a brand and all the money and marketing and all that goes into it. It just doesn't even make logical sense that a company would make a shoe to that level and then not try to sell it and recoup the money when Nike's really all about, you know, the financial end game.
Although, I don't know. I just don't know the numbers on how many Jordan 34s are selling, but I'd be surprised if they were selling enough to really, really compensate and really get profit off of that line. Because, like, you know, we all know.
And would,
like,
a small allotment hurt that or help?
It would hurt it, because it just wouldn't be selling nearly as many.
But if you're
years.
Not, if
it would help your sell through on paper,
right?
But,
I mean. Right.
But also, it sounds kind of cool. But also, where's the disconnect if you have this super crazy performance shoe, and then all you're selling is retros outside of that? Like, how is that going to entice people?
You
to
always have to sell performance shoes.
And so, you know yeah. what I think it suffers from, and we kind of talked about this: the lack of kind of review outlets. Like,
yeah.
really, it looks cool to me. I don't
you have a pair.
No, I don't have a pair.
I
but
have a pair. I haven't worn them, but I have a pair.
Okay, you don't play basketball, so...
Never.
You know, we have Nightwing and people reviewing shoes. Like, it's very few and far between. Like, mm-hmm. how do you review a shoe now, besides if you play in a rec league and, oh, this is really good to ball in? Like,
no, I need you to be an actual basketball player to review that shoe, you know?
Right,
I mean?
Yeah. And there's no... Do they even exist? Maybe we should start that. Not with okay. you guys, because you guys aren't athletes. I'm not that much of an athlete either, but maybe, you know.
I do want to talk about the ones that actually do exist in the plan they have. Welty, you said you don't like the Jason Tatum PEs, right?
No, it looked like a taco.
There's a bunch of them. You know, there's like a Chinese takeout one. I think some of them are cool in terms of colorway, but they just look too cartoony in general, mm-hmm. and I feel like I expect something a bit more serious from Jordan Brand. You know, over on the Nike basketball side, you have Kyrie Irving getting SpongeBob sneakers all the time.
Right.
I don't really want to see a ton of that stuff, and I don't know if I need to see it from Jordan Brand. I do like the 34 that they did for Zion Williamson, that Bayou Boys one, and yeah. they're going to release it at Sneaker Politics in New Orleans where he's playing.
Shout to them.
That makes
Those
a lot
guys,
of sense.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy to see that.
I just got a phone call from Germany on my phone, and that kind of like weirded me out.
Are they, you know what that is?
That's Casper Rorsted.
Yeah,
Adidas headquarters saying, oh, you didn't log in your hours this week.
Adidas CEO
They heard that you're talking about Jordan yeah. on the podcast and said, listen, when are we getting ours? Come on.
Calling to make sure that you are slandering Jordan Brand a sufficient yeah. amount.
But weird, you know, you have people like Zion who hasn't played that much this season, which yeah. I think kind of hurt
but
them.
He's doing well, but
he's turned it on, and, you know, it's kind of untold what the future is going to be for him. You know, it looks really bright, but we don't have a big enough of like a sample set to really be like he's going to. I know a lot of people are trying to push that he's going to be that guy, but you just haven't seen enough games yet to really cement it.
Yeah, so who do you give a signature out of Zion or Luka? Who do you think is the closest?
I think you give it to Zion, right?
Probably.
I don't.
It just seems like he's way more marketable.
maybe. I don't know.
Luka is so good, though.
I don't watch a lot of basketball. But
he's so much further on in his development as a basketball player on multiple levels. You know, he's been a professional basketball player in Europe since he was like 14, 15 years old.
Who knew you had it in you with that jump shot that almost shut MSG down?
The one that also almost beat Steph Curry in the game of horse.
Don't doubt Wealthy's basketball. Right.
But from what I've seen of Luka, he seems really great on court and also seems like he has the developed personality outside of it because he's been so not media trained but just kind of around all of that, which I think is the other 50% equation to him. And it just seems like the kids really like Luka at this point, which I think is really important.
Wealthy in touch with what the kids want.
Okay, go ahead.
I like to hear that. By the way, speaking of slandering Jordans, I do want to touch on something that you were very passionate about.
Yeah.
Wealthy, going into this as far as which sneakers we wanted to talk about, which ups and downs from
negative.
The brand we wanted to talk about from the past. Like,
he's already smiling, but go ahead.
We're mostly focusing on 2020, but we'll go back a little bit further. I know this was a hot one for you, Wealthy. The October 2019, I think the Fearless Jordan 1 mid collection. You were upset about this idea that Jordan Brand is working so hard on making mids a thing. Is that
mid
right?
Collaborations in general.
I think they just they went super hard on it. And I remember we all kind of saw it, and it was like, how many people did they give a shoe to at once?
A lot.
And Jordan collaborations to me are supposed to feel really special. You earned that spot where it's you only have that one Jordan collaboration. Virgil has his own shoe. Travis has his own shoe. Public School had their own shoe. And then all of a sudden when you take 13 people or whatever the number was and just throw it all in at once, it kind of just, regardless if the shoes are good or not, it just kind of dilutes the concept of a Jordan collaboration, regardless of who the collaborators are.
Okay, so where does your critique come from? The execution or the people they picked or what?
It's like...
Or both.
Jordan 1 mid is not the shoe to try and give the collaborations to. It seems like you're forcing too much of kind of a company operative of if we take this, we're going to if we can break through on the mid level, literally.
But that's the hope, though. The hope is that you do get one to break through and then you warm up the audience. That's what they have to do. I totally agree that you do not have to like them, but I think the company is challenged with if we can break through the Jordan 1 mid with these collaborators and then, we've seen it from the beginning of time, and then they stock the shelves with Jordan 1 mids in Foot Locker or big box retailers. That's kind of the hope that they're always trying to sell through.
Yeah. Do you like Jordan 1 mids though, Joe?
I don't think Jordan 1 mid
is just such a hard sell forever because the important thing about Jordans is when they're original or when they're an original cut or an original colorway or something about them ties back to that heritage, nostalgia, etc. And the Jordan 1 mid is just not that.
How far is it on the scale of, you can't wear Air Force 1 mids versus Jordan 1? We're not there yet, but...
I might wear an Air Force 1 mid over a Jordan 1 mid, to be honest. But I don't wear Jordans that often.
How do you feel about the Jordan 1 mids?
Jordan 1 mid in general is not for me, and I do kind of agree with Wealthy. I think they watered down a bit the idea of how special a Jordan collaboration is. And also, this collection of people doesn't make a lot of sense to me as a unit. It's the Fearless collection, so...
There wasn't really, a kind of thread that went through it all.
Edison Chen had a Jordan 1 mid. I'm not going to slander Edison Chen because, like I said, I did meet him in a restaurant a couple months back, and I do still want him to come on Full Size Run. Melody Asani had an Air Jordan 1 mid. Maison Chateau Rouge, FaceTasm, Blue the Great, those ones are cool. The Ghetto Gastro ones, I kind of like those. But just as a whole, I don't see how these things are connected.
And especially when you go into a retailer and you see those shoes kind of sitting on the shelves, you're oh, an Air Jordan 1 collaboration didn't sell out.
Sneakers and Stuff had a pair. I mean, I love those guys, but...
The shoe wasn't it for you?
It wasn't special.
Imagine finally getting a Jordan collaboration and then that's what you get.
See that? Okay, so that I could see. I can warm up to that where you get a Jordan collaboration and the Jordan 1 mid, you don't say no to it. I do get what you're saying about.
Or you get one of those alpha shoes that they did. Right. You know what I mean? I got a Jordan collaboration. And it's yeah, but it's not really a Jordan collaboration.
It's possible also that we're a little out of touch on this because a couple of those are coveted. The Melody Asani ones, the women's only one.
I'm sure
that one goes
some
for a lot of money.
Taste,
but the Blue the Great one, I think the Blue the Great one is one of the better ones. And they're too colorful for me, but it is kind of cool and it has the logo on there. But those are going for, $1,000 on StockX. I don't want that always to be the grade, but it's clear that a lot of people did care about a couple of those shoes in that collection.
For sure. Shifting gears, though, for some new releases, Can't get much fastball down the middle for me, the Black Cat 4s.
Okay, that's a Joe LaPuma signature shoe.
January 22nd, they released. I got four pairs. The good thing, I've been beating the first pair, like, to absolute shit.
But I think that's, for me, when I look at that from the outside, it's like, that's just your personal taste. Thinking that's a great shoe, I don't think...
He likes it.
I like the shoe.
I think it's okay. I just don't think that any all black shoe is ever going to be...
Yeah, that's personal taste.
...is going to be a great sneaker.
Does Joe have an all black shoe on right now? Yeah. Almost.
For the most part.
You know what these are.
Like when I think...
like Khaled.
Fragment Trainer 1.
You see it.
Black leather.
Air Trainer 1, yep. So when I think of all black shoes, it just takes me back to like...
Takes you black or takes you back?
Takes me back to, you know... All black, like Air Max 90s, and dudes from Staten Island coming in to buy a fresh pair to go down the shore for the weekend.
I think it's such a different shoe than that. Like, I don't see the Black Cat 4s as Staten Island, or do you?
Can I talk to you about all black Air Max 90s? I had a pair that I bought in college that I so loved. And I think my roommate at the time, or one of my roommates at the time, a guy named Mike Irwin, he bought the all white Air Max 90s, and I bought the all black ones, and I was just so hyped on sneakers at the time that I was like, I'll clean those for you, because he got them super fucked up, but I was just so into the idea of like being on Nike Talk and reading on like how exactly is the best way to clean shoes, like
to see if you can just do it or not.
Buy a bunch of barkeeper's friend at like Winco and go like scrub down. Actually, that same year, I think I went to hang out with a bunch of friends during spring break at a different college, and I had everybody just like pull out all their dunks, and I was like, I'm cleaning all these. We're getting the cleaning supplies.
Wow, what a crazy spring break for Brendan Dunn. Pull out all your sneakers and I'll clean them.
It got wild.
Wow, okay. I thought, what, Panama City or Cancun? No, we are having a sneaker cleaning session, and guess what? I'm going to clean all of them for you guys. You guys
go. Dedicated I was to the game. Yeah. No, let me say,
go to happy hour. No. I'll be here with the toothbrush and the sneaker cleaner.
Two things. I'm going to show you guys the photo, because I do have the photo of that, of me.
Okay.
Me in the living
room.
Wow,
things got crazy on spring break. Okay.
We did throw a huge party that week, and I was running around with the super soaker.
Was it a foam party?
It was, you know.
Love it.
But Joe, I think you had mentioned this before, and just get the clarification.
Dry snitch incoming?
Wait, no. Can I finish my Air Max 90 thing?
All right. Okay, how many other shoes did you clean? But go ahead, go.
I love the all black Air Max 90s. It was important to throw away the Dubray. It came with the silver Dubray.
Yeah.
That was trash. But I think I had a pair of like Ronnie Feig Asics at the time with white laces, so I switched out the stock laces. And
always
had
an innovator.
Ronnie Feig Asics laces in my black Air Max 90s.
But Joe, we all know about, we joke about it, but you love all black sneakers. You hate white sneakers.
Yes.
I think you had mentioned it before that your like disdain for all white sneakers comes from growing up on Long Island and that being like a cultural mainstay out there and not wanting to look like that.
I think the same kind of stereotype that you were getting at, where it was like, gelled hair and white K-Swiss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Literally, I will tell you this on record. When I wear white sneakers and I have a big foot.
Yeah.
What size?
11 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it. Like, I, you know.
Yeah,
everyone
looks
knows,
bigger.
Everyone knows that.
It looks bigger.
Everyone knows that we love our sneakers because the way that they make us feel. And sometimes you could have hundreds and hundreds of pairs, but the rotation isn't as big as you think.
Mm-hmm.
I am yet to wear a white sneaker that I can wear consistently that doesn't make, like, also, to be honest, the big calves with white sneakers, not the best.
Do you have big calves?
I mean,
Joe LaPuma does not skip leg day.
Come on now.
Every day is leg day.
Listen,
for Joe LaPuma.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying it.
But people are talking?
But it just literally is at the core, the white sneakers, just, I feel like they don't look good on me. Does that make sense?
That's fair.
Okay, Black Cat 4s. Then I think...
Can we talk about the women's Jordan OG that released in January? Because I feel like that
was a big moment. Which one was that?
So they just call it the women's Air Jordan OG. It's just like the first
Jordan-specific
model. It came out in 98.
No, exactly. I thought you were talking about a 1. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It came out when they first... Jordan brand was like a year old at the time.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I just... I know we probably don't have pairs, but I just think it's like a big moment in terms of like Jordan brand always trying to capture the women's audience. You know, Nike and Jordan execs have said like time and time again in all these earnings reports that they want to capture that audience. They want to do more to like break out. You see it, right, Joe? It looks kind of like that Jordan 13
design
language.
Is this what Melody did?
Yeah, so Melody Asani has one coming out. Always love to see an Iranian American woman doing
well.
To
be honest,
I support that.
This is dope.
You like those?
I like this. I like this.
Welty, are you on board with that?
He's not going.
No,
to be,
I saw a lot of.
I like this.
I saw a lot of women that I'm friends with on Instagram wearing that shoe, and
hey,
it looked
really
it looked okay.
Speak on it, King.
I want to take it back, like Mark Parker, Nike chairman in December 2019, kind of talking about how much Jordan Brand wants to diversify. And I think that's why these women's offerings are important. He said, we're in the early stages of strengthening our portfolio and expanding our portfolio within the Jordan Brand. Obviously, sportswear is very strong. Performance basketball is more upside. Other performance categories, there's upside. Apparel, women's, international growth. So there's tremendous growth opportunity. They're always trying to grow it into different categories. And that's why, I know we don't necessarily have these shoes, but I do think it's important, yeah, like in terms of Jordan Brand's long-term strategy of like, how can we sell more sneakers to women? Because it's ironic because I feel like we talk a lot about, yeah, Air Jordans being like for women in New York City. Like you see more women wearing like small Jordan than men, but like,
yeah,
I still think they have so much work to do. I know I say that every time, but
for sure, we've talked about that before. These are really dope to me.
Which ones? The OG?
Absolutely.
And the Melody Ehsani pair looks cool with the cherry on.
And the women are getting fits off with these 100%.
That's something we could support, right?
Yeah,
100%. These look great. Shiva, they're getting the fits off, Shiva. I'm looking at it right now.
I think she
co-signed.
It was a cool story, too, because like I feel like sometimes it's tough to tell with any given collaborator like how organic the connection is. And Melody Ehsani had this cool like post on her Instagram where she was like, in 1991, 11-year-old Melody wrote Magic Johnson a letter protesting the fact that girls weren't allowed in his summer basketball camp. So there's like a real
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, story in terms of like her caring about basketball, about sneakers. You know, I think like Melody Ehsani, she had like a lot of like Reebok collabs earlier on in her career. She has kind of a renaissance right now.
Yeah, it's weird to me because I just like remember those and like thinking that those weren't good at all. Just
the Reebok ones.
Yeah, just the product I didn't like at all. And then so I guess like the perception in my head was just I didn't know much about her outside of that. I just knew the Reebok collaborations and I was like, oh, I don't like this stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I saw her do the Jordan collaboration, I didn't realize like how much people really got
the Jordan 1 mid from last year.
Yeah, got behind that shoe. And
yeah,
you saw
big.
Like a lot of women on Instagram like wanting it, posting it, and then like you as you said, the resale value went up massive on it. So
those are hard to get. I had a couple people like hitting me, I think, about trying to get pairs for women that they knew.
Yeah.
Just to put a pin in that, I think these Air Jordan OG for women's really good. And I think Melody's collab really good. And I think the inline one is dope as well.
Yeah,
so
just make more women's Jordans. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like always.
That women actually want.
Yeah.
Shifting. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we kind of did a whole podcast on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But All-Star Weekend, we got to talk about Off-White Fives and that Airship pack.
Yeah, New Beginnings pack.
You got your pair, right? The Off-White?
I did get my Off-White Fives.
Have you worn them yet?
I haven't worn them yet. Let's check the price right now live.
So, again, Joe paid how much for the Off-White?
$1,100
for the Off-White Jordan Fives on StockX. How much are they now,
Joe? I'm checking right now live.
Not that the money makes any difference to you.
That's not true.
Hold I want to know.
Hold on.
Brendan's been really active on StockX, even tweeting at them angrily the other day.
Dude.
Was that too much?
Actually, okay. How do we feel? 720.
Joe!
Is that a L?
$400?
Is that a L?
Yeah, you should have been.
I mean, that's at least a dinner at Lure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, sometimes you misread the market, which I did.
Yeah.
Still happy I have them. I think they
did
were.
Did you wear them yet?
Haven't worn them.
What's the fit going to look like with those?
Oh, no. I got to think about that. I got to think about that.
You're happy with StockX's transaction? Everything went smooth?
I have never had a problem with StockX, honestly. I know that you guys.
I have to say,
Brendan did have a problem.
No, let me explain this. And I was, after I sent the tweet, I was like, is this too reckless to just be going at StockX like this? The problem was mostly with UPS and them picking up.
Wow, okay. So StockX got a stray shot.
No, but so I sold some stuff on StockX and I dropped it off to get picked up by UPS, and allegedly they picked it up, but the shoes were already on their way to StockX. I didn't have them anymore, but then they canceled my order, and I was like, what the fuck am I going to do now? So we fired up the old Twitter machine and got to typing, and eventually that did resolve my issue. So I have nothing but praise for the StockX support team as far as this week goes. I got to chill a little bit, though. I've been spending way too much time, way too much energy. Welty and I were talking about this, worrying about when is this thing going to sell? Oh, now it's on its way. I got $87.34 from the PayPal, you know. I mean, the PayPal looks good right now, but still, like, I need to spend less energy.
I've never
on that
sold
stuff.
On StockX, but that sounds like you guys are doing good.
It's
stock market's crashing. StockX
going up.
So, All-Star Weekend, Jordan owned it.
Yes. In Chicago,
we shouldn't say own it.
They did a thing.
Yeah, they had a lot of good product.
Yeah. And that was an energy moment for them. And I just think Chicago had a lot to do with it, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think that they stepped up to the plate and the releases were great. And
the shoes were good. I mean,
shoes were good.
There were some duds. I think the Wings Air Jordan 10 wasn't great, but I like it because it's a charity thing. Yeah, you know, kids designed it so they kind of get a pass, although the Dornbecker stuff is better. But
yeah, it's definitely kind of a bad design.
I think also. Okay,
judging kids, but.
Also, for Chicago, they had that 8x8 collection. All those collaborators. To me, that's like the opposite of the Jordan 1 Fearless collection. Remember how we were talking about how that Fearless group, a bunch of names who didn't necessarily have a common thread or a real connection? To me, what Jordan Brand did in Chicago with that 8x8 group with like Lyrical Lemonade, Virgil Abloh, the barber guy, the guys from Success. Lavelle Sykes from Success, to see him in a Nike press release. I love that dude. That was cool to me. But like, that was a real moment where it's like all these people are very connected to this community. It makes sense to give them product. Some of the product was a little iffy, but still, it was like, if you're going to do a big collaboration collection with a lot of people, this is how you do it.
Yeah, because remember we were talking about it, and it was like one of the shoes, there was like that Sheila Rashid Air Jordan 1 mid, but they released it on a Monday. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
you didn't like that one.
It's just weird to like drop a collaboration on a Monday, like after All-Star Weekend.
Mid-Monday. It sells itself.
MJ Mondays, ever heard of it?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, one thing, though, for the All-Star Weekend thing, you know, I've seen events, big events where Jordan or big installations where Jordan kind of bricked it a little bit in a few years, in recent years, I should say. They stepped up to the plate in Chicago, and I think they did really well.
Also,
have you ever been to Michael Jordan's Steakhouse?
I have.
Did you go when you were there?
He was there when I went.
Randomly.
This was the press trip. Oh, yeah.
He surprised us. Me and Russ talked about it.
Were you like grinning from like ear to ear, like control yourself.
But we talked John Starks, and it was like a group of us, and it was all for the press trip. I think it might have been the 23, and he was like kind of made a joke about John Starks and shitting on the Knicks as usual. But we were all eating dinner, and it was the same trip that we went to the Bulls Arena. We had our lockers and things like that, and they announced our name, and we ran out. Then you're having dinner at
Welty and I did play at Madison Square Garden, so let's remember that.
Right. Were you guys in the industry back then?
Yeah.
Okay.
You thought we were just trying out?
No, I mean,
Jordan 23.
Oh, I thought you meant when we played at the Garden.
Yeah, not the Garden.
Jordan 23, I was...
Dick's?
I was working at Dick's or Foot Locker.
Okay. I was in college. Okay. I was cleaning Mike Irwin's Air Max 90s.
Yeah, on spring break. So then they're like, hey, you're going to Jordan Steakhouse for dinner. We're all eating. And all of a sudden, like, I think there's a curtain in it or something. He comes out and, like, joins us for dinner. Is, you know, definitely a press trip career moment. Like, that was awesome.
15% of this podcast for me is just a reminder of what the different level that Joe LaPuma is on versus the two of us in every
just
a aspect
seat at the table.
Of life. I do want to talk about another couple of shoes that released around All-Star Weekend.
Okay.
The Jordan 1 from the New Beginnings pack and then the Jordan 1 85 because they kind of like worked on the shape on those to make it more original. The collar is a bit higher. I think Jordan Brand caught a lot of flack in the new millennium for the past 20 years or so about the shapes on their retro shoes, how they just weren't accurate. They weren't right. right. So I do think it's important, because we complain about that stuff so much, to give them credit where it's due when they get it right. I think about 5-6 years ago when they started remastering stuff, like, that was a big deal, and I think a step in the right direction. Welty, we've had conversations recently about how all the, like, Nike and Jordan stuff from, like, it's 2000 to 2010 funny. Is just bad in terms of retro accuracy.
Yeah, don't even want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's just kind of funny how the shoes we really look back on, like the golden era of what sneaker culture is nowadays, is like 2005 to 2010. Mm-hmm. If you actually
look, a lot of retro products.
If you look at all the retro shoes from the era, they're just like really bad. Like all
some of the parts, essentially.
Yeah,
like the catalog.
Yeah, or no, just like how like they
physically
tried, how they tried they were the shape. They didn't know how to recreate the shoes. Like they weren't like taking the original last and like putting like the right branding on it and like the way they made the midsole and like remember like the you don't like white shoes but like the military fours. From like 2006, it's just like the paint just like fell off the.
A lot of paint chipping in those areas.
Yeah.
But I think I do want to just mention again as another high point of stuff Jordan's done recently. The stuff is quite limited, but those two pairs of Jordan ones, you know, they talk to like original developers and like factory people to get the stuff right. The collar height, like I said, they're using original lasts on.
I don't
stuff,
think people
so like
realize
cool
how hard it is to accurately retro a shoe.
I know, and I don't think they care because it's like real like shoe dog level type.
Yeah, that's
nerd
the thing.
Stuff.
I was going to say, who knows that even knows that story? What kid they look at it? They look at how it looks. How more people should know about that story.
That's why I love it because like not that we need to be like thankful to these brands, but like Jordan doesn't have to do that type of stuff. So when they do that type of stuff, it feels like it's for us or it's for the people who are really invested.
Like someone's actually doing really their job. Care. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So I think they deserve some credit for that. I do want to mention real briefly, like though,
still again, on All-Star Weekend?
No, just all this retro
product.
Because
I want to talk about a retro.
Okay.
Yeah. One that I don't know why, maybe, and to be fair, maybe it is the white sneakers, that UNC Jordan 3 that people went nuts over last weekend.
I was confused.
I did not like
you didn't
that
like,
shoe.
You didn't like it when it had the North Carolina logo on the tongue?
When it was like a PE?
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, no. Well, here's the thing. Even if I like the PE, I still think retroing it the same exact shoe essentially without that kind of special tag on it.
Yeah.
But people went nuts over it. I can't figure that one out, why people went so nuts over it,
to
be honest.
He caught a lot of flack on Full Size Runner where he referred to it as a poverty PE.
I saw that, yeah.
Which was accurate, in the words of DJ Khaled. Accurate. That was totally accurate. Joe, I'm with you on this. Like,
yeah, I just couldn't. I can't. You know, sometimes you see, and listen, everyone's guilty of it. I'm guilty of it, where I will love a shoe and go super hard for it, and it's like tons of people are like, why? Like,
how did you end up there?
Yeah, you really like that? But this one, I was looking at the stuff online last Saturday, and I'm
people
like,
"People fighting."
Yeah,
for this
I'm really. What am I? What I was basically saying? What am I missing here?
A very close friend of mine ended up getting, who's a reseller, ended up getting 400 pairs.
How'd he do on them?
Pretty good. He doesn't sell stuff for like too much over, or he's not like trying to like wait for it. He's just literally trying to move it. But I think he said the profit was at the end of the day, having to split it with someone else, but like total was like $18,000 for like a sneaker release.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
See, all this caught me totally by surprise. Like you, Joe, I woke up that morning, you know, I wake up early every Saturday, but not for sneaker releases, go run 15 miles, whatever.
Okay.
But I was going on Twitter and I was like, these are selling out. People are freaking out over.
Yeah, I was like, this has to be an old. Yeah, same. I was like, this has to be an old video. And it wasn't. And to be honest, when I saw that video, people were like, These aren't good, but a lot of people must have thought that they were good.
You know the last shoe that happened with that caught everyone off guard is like 5 years ago or whatever was that white and pink Jordan 12?
Yeah, women's Jordan 12 that we're like, men were fighting for.
Yeah, there was like at the Champs over in right down the street, there was like people knocking each other out in the streets for a white and pink Jordan 12.
Didn't make sense. I don't want to be too self-referential, but I actually tweeted out that day because I was like, people wanted those blue threes like that. What's the deal? So I'm just going to like, people are saying, oh, because it came from the almighty alma mater. I'm just reading through my replies here of Michael Jordan, Tar Heels.
That's good.
I'm a Tar Heels fan.
Okay, makes sense.
If it was not
everything is about
UConn, if it was a UConn?
No, just not to like go down that road too much, but if it was a black and Carolina blue Air Jordan 3, no, but would you like it?
That sounds kind of gross to me.
I don't know. Black and Carolina is rough.
Also, I think I just, like, philosophically, like...
What nerds we are, but keep going.
As I say, philosophically, talking about this sneaker, but I don't like the idea of, like, turning a player-exclusive shoe into a shoe that anyone can have, with or without the logo.
I
it just waters it down
same,
immediately.
Why do we feel
put it
that
away
way?
For a decade?
But why do we feel that way and not
put
to
it
be,
away for 15
since,
years?
Since this room is full of self-referential people, the Carmelo Anthony, where I asked him, like, he said that the Jordan 11, the all patent leather red one, mm-hmm. was his favorite, and then they released it, and it kind of took away from it.
Yeah.
It's the same exact thing, and I feel the same way. It's like this litmus test of PE, no one could get it, and then all of a sudden, a couple years later, it releases, and why do we feel that way, that it just isn't as special?
That's, I mean,
well,
I
maybe because it isn't as special, but also, yeah, like, I totally agree with you.
That's kind of like another Jordan stuff that kind of got a little more mainstream, is like the Oregon stuff at first was all
Go Ducks.
PE stuff, but I think the first one that they dropped on like a mainstream level is they did that Oregon foamposite.
Yeah.
But for you, so maybe that's closer to you, but like, how did you feel? And you're a guy who had the Oregon Air Jordan 3s.
Did you send Devin for those or?
But you had that shoe. But
have I told that story?
Yeah.
I'm sure I've told that. No, not the Devin story, but how I got the Jordan 3s. I'm sure I've told
that. This is a really good story. You should tell it right now.
Hold on. Before you tell it, how long is it?
It's like 4 minutes maybe.
Oh, all right. Let's make it 2:30. Go ahead.
Okay. I was at the University of Oregon when that shoe first came out. This was before player exclusive Jordans.
These were the black.
Yeah, I'll tell the story. Okay. This was the black. I'm messing with you. You wasn't there, but I was. It's the black Pit Crew Jordan 3. I had no type of like connection to the sneaker world, like on a formal level. I was writing blog posts for Sneaker News at the time, but no type of clout. Let's make that abundantly clear. The first people to get them were students who were in the Pit Crew, which is the Oregon basketball like fan section that went to a bunch of games. They got them. Like,
got it.
Some pairs were floating around campus. You would see people with them. Crazy. Crazy stuff. Unprecedented at the time, in my opinion. Eventually, how you could get them was they made them like a prize of sorts for going to lesser attended games, so like women's basketball games. Women's basketball team is amazing right now, but back then it wasn't a huge draw. So we started going to every women's basketball game. Okay. Are you clocking me? Are you running the time on this?
No, but...
I'm trying to talk fast.
Okay, right. You're getting a little at...
You asked me to tell the story.
So all right, 21... Keep going.
I started going to every women's basketball game where they would raffle off a pair of the shoes with $200 cash in my pocket.
Okay.
$200
cash. How'd you have $200 cash in college?
The student loans?
Keep going.
Wasn't missing any meals. So one game I'm there, they keep calling out raffle tickets. I see people get up. I'm like, that person's not going to fall for this. That person's not going to sell it to me. Boom, they call one raffle number, and I see an old couple get up. They just won these Pit Crew Jordan 3s.
Wow.
I'm like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
I have the cash in my pocket. So I see them get up. I'm on the other side of the arena, Matthew Knight Arena. I walk out. I meet him in the hallway. I chase him down. I said, look. And even the way I phrased it was tactical. I said, I'll give you $200 for that ticket. You not even for your prize.
You identified an old couple for the suckers. Wow. Keep going.
So I said, I'll give you $200 for that ticket. Not, you know. They're like, we don't even know what we want. What? Yeah, sure. What is it? I was like, you want a pair of shoes and a jacket. That's it. Because there was a matching jacket. I said, that's it. And they said, yeah, oh, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah,
that's
we'll,
it.
We'll do it. We'll do $200 for a pair of Oregon Jordan 3s. I think those sell for like $5,000 now. Had no idea at the time that it would get that high. But so we went behind a pillar in the arena, and I gave them $200 cash. They gave me the ticket. I nervously, shaking, walked up to the counter and said, Brendan Dunn, and handed them my ticket and wrote down my size. And a few weeks later, I had the Oregon Jordan 3s.
Were you wearing Black Air Force Ones when you did this?
It wasn't a scam.
Who knew that Brendan Dunn believed in capitalism that much?
Look at you, identified the op.
That's how I got the Oregon Jordan 3s. I did not hold on to them long enough, and I do still feel a little bit guilty for selling them, but I was a college student, and I did have some student loans, but maybe not enough. Joe, how long did that story?
It was around 2:30. That's
around
2:30?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a pretty good story, though.
Yeah, that was good.
Poverty PEs.
Now that we reached the apex of the podcast with that story, how can we recover? the last thing I think we should talk about, the thing that everyone's talking about, and I would like to see what you guys think about this from when we first saw them to more recent, the Dior Jordan 1s.
This is the big one.
This is what everyone's talking about. Every day we see something about
$2,000.
$2,000, 8,500 pairs made?
Yeah.
We're not sure on that. I just want to get a caveat some of this stuff because there was a different number of pairs originally rumored to be made. So Nike hasn't confirmed that stuff, but it looks like $2,000 retail, 8,500 pairs made.
Joe LaPuma, do you think you're going to get floated a pair?
Probably not.
No?
I don't know. I don't know, honestly.
Seems possible.
With all this, I don't wear white. Will I? Do I deserve it?
Is this a white sneaker that you would wear?
There's a bit of gray on there.
I like the lows better. That's all I would say.
What?
Yeah, I like the lows better. Is that a hot take?
I just think
like the shoe surgeon to customize them for you for a black pair?
No. He's been doing great work, though.
Yeah.
He really has.
We got to get him a full-size run.
Yeah, you guys need to make that happen. But Dior 1s, let's start with Wealthy.
To me, it's like, it's. I get it, and I get what it does for Jordan Brand, and I understand all of that. I just think...
What does it do for Jordan Brand?
It elevates the level of, like, we collaborated with Dior.
Agreed.
As much as, you know, some people think that maybe some of these brands don't deserve to be in sneaker culture.
Do you think that?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Dior is doing too many collabs. Yeah, but that's a conversation.
Kim Jones, sneaker guy, had Nike collaborations. For sure. Like, yada, yada. Yeah. But it's... And I say this in the nicest way possible, it's the ultimate, like, asshole sneaker.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
In the nicest way.
What was the not nice way to say it?
It's just, to me, it's totally uncool. Like, it's one of those things where you're trying so hard to be cool by wearing it. Okay. And it's one of those shoes that, like, kids are going to, like, fantasize over so much. And, you know, I've written a story about it when we first saw it. And it was like the only people you're going to see wearing it at first is like LeBron, you know.
What's my man's name? The new Batman has a pair. What's the guy's name with the good jaw?
Pattinson.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson.
But, you know, like celebrities and basketball players and, you know. Travis Scott. Yeah, musicians and all that sort of stuff. But then, you know, it becomes that one shoe that is the only thing you see on Instagram for like 2 years or whatever. And it's like everyone just fantasizes over something that nobody's going to be able to own, and it kind of like creates this legacy behind it. And I get like these things are important to sneaker culture, and a lot of things that we love do it, but I just think that like a Dior Jordan 1, that's just like people are only wearing it because it's a status symbol more than I think them really loving the shoe is the thing that creates that sort of energy in the sneaker space.
Okay. I feel you, but also I feel like there's like a lot of genuine things about the project, you know, as far as Kim Jones being a creative director at Dior and like him having a legitimate sneaker background and him wanting to connect with Jordan. I think from a production standpoint, the shoes are made in Italy. I don't know if that's going to get weird with coronavirus just on a serious note.
I wasn't even going to go there.
Yeah, but you know, also the Jordan Brand is releasing suits. That's insane. There's like suits coming and like bomber jackets and all this stuff. Like,
are they the sort of suits that Michael Jordan likes to wear?
The audacity of Jordan Brand trying to sell you a suit because Dior helped them do it. Like, that's cool. It's like this classic idea of a collaboration where you say like the two entities have to give each other something that they didn't have before. And I think this is a genuine version of that. Also, like I said, from a production standpoint, like we don't know exactly how they were made, but like on a materials level, I do think there's something there that's like special beyond the fuckboyism surrounding them that you're alluding to.
I really
want to see all the apparel.
Yeah, same. And let me ask you, LT, have you ever done that, what you said, maybe bought into the hype just for status? Do you think, is there a shoe, even Adidas, is there a shoe that you could, and I think it's fine, we all do it sometimes, but...
There has to be.
I think I'm actually curious.
No, I think I'll admit to the only thing that I've really purchased, maybe even beyond like maybe when I was like 20 buying like Nike. I mean, I love Nike SB stuff, but I guess maybe you just kind of did it, not you didn't do it just because it was cool, but you kind of felt like I'm flexing on people by wearing this stuff. No, just like I forget, you know, stuff like that. I remember buying like Morky Mini Dunks, like stuff like that, where you're like, I liked it, but also you were like, I want to flex on people.
Yeah,
you know?
Did you spend a lot of money on that shit?
It was like $175.
That's okay, not recent.
No,
prices.
But I would say the only thing that I can admit that, I mean, and I like the way it looks, but I bought kind of as a status symbol, I would say is like the money I've spent on like Stone Island jackets and
say,
stuff like that. And I can admit that. I can admit that.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure I have a ton. You know? I'm sure I have white and Carolina blue sneakers that we just talked about that I probably got.
The one white shoe that you said that you bought that you can't even wear the fucking Supreme Blazers.
Yes.
You know what? Can I say one more thing about those white blue threes also, just to get us back there? Like, you only need one blue pair of Jordan 3s. That's a true blue Jordan 3. And it came out not that long ago in 2016 with the Nike Air on the heel. So why do you need these?
What's the
Khaled ones too.
What's one thing you've purchased as like a status symbol?
I'm gonna try and be honest here, and it just may take me a second to like think about it. I mean, I've spent a lot of money on Stone Island jackets for sure, but I genuinely.
I don't see you wearing Stone Island a lot.
He's got
a few. Is it because he wears it?
I think I had a Stone Island jacket before, Wealthy. Oh. If we're keeping it
okay,
beam,
maybe.
I'm sure there is something. It's just like, how long do we want to sit here for me to think of it? Like, throw some stuff at me.
Not that long.
Like hype sneakers, no.
Any Jordans and a New Balance.
That undercover leather jacket that you bought?
No, that is fire. That leather jacket. He bought a Supreme suit, though.
Oh, yeah.
He has a Supreme suit.
I have. Okay, maybe that's it. I bought
the salmon-colored one.
I have two Supreme suits. Actually, one of the few things I want from Supreme this season is the suit. There's another suit coming out that just looks nice. Maybe that's the hype thing for me. I don't
know. Joe, what's one thing that you spent way too much money on besides the Off-White 5s that
I'm going to keep thinking because...
That you bought it not because you necessarily liked it, but because you wanted to show people, like, I'm Joe LaPuma.
First of all, there's nothing I bought
that... To tell people I'm Joe LaPuma.
Yeah.
You know, they already know.
I bought a Visvim shirt recently, and it was definitely not cut for me. Mm-hmm. I think
what size?
It was like an XL. It was like a silk shirt, really dope. Black silk with red letters, and I was so excited to wear it. Definitely does not fit me.
I know the one.
You know which one I'm talking
you
about,
got it
right?
From Union?
No, I got it from Barney's.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give it to Frazier if I haven't already, because he's frail. So, Frazier Tharp of the Watch Less podcast.
Go listen.
It was like a $750 shirt. I had a dinner that night. I was like, I'm definitely wearing this shirt. It's going to be dope. And I should have tried it on. I got home. It was not working. But yeah, I think either gave it to Frazier or I'm going to.
I want to say, though, I'm not going on record saying I'm impervious to that type of vibe. I've definitely, like, fallen victim to it. A lot of times I just can't remember anything off the top of my head. A lot of times one thing I get close to is Rolexes because, like, I don't know anything about the watch
that's
world.
That's different, though.
I know, but it's for me, I don't know anything about the watch world, so it's something where I'm often like, oh, I should do this. I should spend a couple $1,000s despite not knowing, you know, the first thing about which one's good. And that's the thing. I'm always like, if I make a big purchase like that, I'm always trying to spend like a couple months to like...
Yeah, we sit close to each other, so just walk by. Just kidding.
Joe with a Rolex on his wrist right now, one I couldn't tell you anything about.
Yeah, listen.
Listen, Dior Jordan 1, I think another important thing for people to realize is like, this shoe is going to be so hard to get, so maybe it doesn't even matter how you feel about it.
Let me ask you, has it changed since you first saw it? Has your attitude towards it changed at all?
I mean, I've warmed up to it, but to me, it's still like, I know I'm not going to get it, but it's one of those things, if you get it, it's like, I'm going to resell the fuck out of that shoe.
Does Dad like it?
I think so.
Okay.
I think he's on board. I think I've warmed up to it more. I think it's so close to being like quite tasteful. Like if you look at the print that's on the tongue, that's more subtle. I wish that treatment was like the one that also appeared on the swoosh, because the swoosh is just like that all over Dior pattern that they've put on some of their own inline shoes. And I think like that's the real easy play of like, look, it's a Dior logo. Come buy this. Like the shoe could have been a lot better, I think, if it was all like it is on the tongue. These are coming out in April 2020. Like we said, not a lot of confirmed release date information, but select Dior stores and pop-ups. We saw this like release thing floating around about this raffle and that raffle. It looks like the lows are coming out afterward. We're assuming the lows are going to be more available because that's often how they do these things. I guess I would have to resell them at the end of the day. I don't know. Spending $2,000 on a like, if it is indeed $2,000, as we've heard, like that's the type of thing where you're just like, I don't know if I can really like wear a shoe that I know that I spent that much on.
There was someone in the office that had said that if they got the Dior ones that they would wear them, and like the look on my face was just like, why would you do that?
You were baffled.
You know, I think that we started the podcast with the current state of Jordan, and I think it's only been 3 months, so it feels like we covered a lot in a little amount of time.
As far as what they're doing in 2020.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how the next quarter and how the year ends up, but I think overall, besides some of the models that we didn't like, there is some good energy behind them.
Yeah, yeah. I like what Jordan's doing right now. I think the product's still a little too retro-focused. Like, you know, Joe, we talked about the Nike Forum event that we were at where Nike was showing all its Olympic stuff and all its like new
innovative tech
performance shoes with like measurable benefits, you know.
Measurable benefits, corporate speak.
Like it.
That's what they said. I mean, you know, it's tested in a lab, but like, remember, Jordan Brand wasn't a part of that equation at all. And that was kind of like a subtle reminder that I think they're often second in line when it comes to this sort of innovation. And it's also like kind of points again to like how little new stuff they have, you know, that's just like not in the same conversation.
I think a good moment to end it on, speaking of new Jordan stuff, was we posted that new Jordan Delta shoe the other day that Edison Chen was like alluding to. So we're just like, oh, what's he teasing? And Khaled saw it and was like, Complex sneakers. Haven't seen these.
At a Complex sneakers, he showed the full reveal of the Delta Jordans.
Like, these have been sitting in my room. Like, and then Joe FaceTimes him in the middle of the office and talks to Khaled.
That's an okay-looking shoe, I got to say. Yeah. Some of those new designs with that same language look kind of decent.
And then Khaled screen grabbed the FaceTime, and I'm like, my eyes are closed. The
puts
worst
it on his story, yeah.
And he wrote, every day is Complex Con. Before we get out of here, though, I'm putting you guys on the spot.
Okay.
And I'll answer too. Favorite Jordan of the last 2 decades?
This changes all the time.
You want me to say mine first?
Yeah, say yours first.
I think the Jordan 4 Black Laser.
Right. Oh, Black Laser, not Black the Black Hat.
I love the Black Hat, but I think, like, to answer this, like, a little special one, the Jordan 4 Black Laser, how I got those.
You have 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Okay. First of all, I love them. I think 2006 Bradley Carbone, who I've mentioned on this podcast, the lifestyle editor at Complex, the first sneaker guy at Complex.
Went on to work at Adidas for a long time.
He was wearing them at his desk, and I was like, wow. And, you know, never had a chance to get them. I got them around 4 years ago. Shout out to Benjamin Kicks. He delivered them to the Epic Hotel in Miami. He got
it. Always comes back to Miami.
Came, met me in the lobby, and I have them, and I wear them a ton. I wore them just for Carmelo, and I will also say the sole is falling apart. So there's a chance that I'm going to wear them either to the office or on an episode, and the sole is going to come off. But I love those Black Laser 4s. Sheck West wore them on your guys' show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welty, do you have a pick?
You got to pick one. Come on.
You know what shoe I used to wear?
Not the Aqua 8.
Quite a bit. I used to wear the...
This is going
to
come out of left field. I'm interested.
No, the original black and white Jordan Futures when they first came out.
Yeah. Dude, really? I had like three pairs of those. They were so comfortable.
Remember the gold Jordan Brand Classic?
Wow. That you gave to Mero?
Okay, I gave the Jordan Brand Classic pair to...
The Kid Mero?
Yes. And they went for what, $3,000?
He was like, he comes in your office in the original Desus and Mero days and was like, Joe La Puma, give me sneakers.
And I gave
back
him
when
those.
That was a podcast and a show here at Complex.
Who ended up being on Sneaker Shopping Full Circle.
Yeah. But yeah, I gave him those Jordan Brand Classic Futures and they turned out to be like a couple $1,000s.
Were you mad?
Nah.
Because you're not a guy to take it to Flight Club anyways, though,
so
it doesn't matter.
And I love those guys. So, but... I don't even remember you wearing Futures.
I wore that like when it first came out. I just thought it was cool.
And comfortable too.
Oh, I remember when that shoe came out, the Future, you were mad because everyone was wearing.
Me always mad, snitching.
Everyone was wearing.
48th minute, but here it is.
Everyone was posting them the black and red pair, and they were posting with bootcut jeans, and Joe LaPuma was like, they're fucking ruining that shoe on the internet. We need to show them how they do it. And then you were like, all right, get the camera. And you had like the black skinny jeans on.
This is. Is this true?
Yes, there's a story on the website. God. It's like people don't know how to wear the Jordan Future,
how embarrassing!
And you had a picture of Joe La Puma, with the skinny jeans and the strong cast.
Waist down.
Yeah.
Wow. Dry snitching alert. Here it is for everyone who listens. It is.
Where were the jeans from?
Probably Saint Laurent.
But the other shoe too that I wish the one shoe that you'd be surprised that never got released that I thought was really dope was the Travis Scott Trunners.
Yeah,
those are
people.
Cool,
yeah, people really like those.
I have beef with the guy who made the Trunner. So,
oh boy,
we can't talk about that.
You didn't clean his shoes on spring. Portland guy, or?
We can't talk about that.
Okay,
I actually don't have beef with him. He has beef with me, but we can't talk about that.
Just say the word.
Might
look light.
we have you. I'm going to exclude like OG colorways and things like that because that stuff is too easy. I mean, like I wear black cement threes like a decent amount. That's probably the Jordan I wear the most. Mm-hmm. I have a 1985 Jordan 1, stuff like that. But, I mean, the Cool Grey 3 is actually very high for me. And I have fond memories of, buying those on Nike Talk.
Does that have the cement print with the little orange? Does it
the
have
orange
hints?
On there? Yeah. That was, I had shoe. Those. That was, I think that was the first shoe I bought on a sneaker forum. And I remember, I did the PayPal thing all wrong. And he was like, what the fuck? And, he didn't have the money in time. But he still sent them to me. I think I paid, $109 for them or something, but that's just a random shoe that I have super fond memories of. I got to dig them out of my closet in Oregon. But
interesting, that's a good.
I'm gonna say Cool Grey 3. I don't know. Crucify me for it.
No, that's fine. To each his own.
I want to mention, regardless of how we feel about Jordan Brand, ups and downs and things like that. I think it is getting bigger and bigger. It's always important to come back to the numbers. We don't always have the numbers, but Mark Parker, executive chairman at Nike, said in their most recent earnings calls, is December 2019, the Jordan Brand. On wholesale equivalent basis, just earned its first $1 billion quarter. This was last year. So, we like to complain. There are things we're not sure of, how much the new product really impacts, how much retros are moving. This thing sat, this thing didn't. But I think it's clear that it's bigger than ever.
Definitely. And that's a testament to what they've been doing. And again, like I said, we can nitpick some models and we're allowed to. And some people may feel that way, but...
It sounds like overall, though, we're pretty happy with the stuff Jordan Brand's been doing in 2020. Is that a fair characterization of all of us?
I think so.
Yes.
Welty, not a Jordan hater.
No, look it.
Not a Jordan hater.
Growth.
Not a hater in general?
Not a hater in general.
That's bullshit, but growth.
Not as much as I used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to say one thing. There's a lot of people missing from the office today. We are missing somebody in the room here. Not the producer, but our resident intern, Dave Matthews, complex employee. He works with Joe on sneaker shopping. He's not here.
Yes.
Are you happy that he's in the room or not? Or not happy that he's, or happy that he's not here?
I mean, I'm happy
it turned into a shout out. Hold on.
I'm happy he's not here because it is his birthday.
It is his birthday.
He's somewhere else.
I was just in Miami with him. Shout out Dave Matthews. He is taking his lovely wife to a Italian restaurant. He was like, I got to get
Olive Garden?
No, not Olive Garden.
Where are they going?
Delmonico's.
Okay.
Shout out Dave Matthews. Happy birthday, buddy. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the Complex Sneakers podcast. Make sure you guys check us out every Friday morning wherever you consume your podcasts. Thanks so much. We will see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.